Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Evolution.org. Hardcore, up your ass with no condom, raw podcast. This is your host, Steve Smee. I'm with the Mason. How you doing, Mason? You alive?
I'm alive, man. I'm doing great. This is going to be a fun show. I feel like it's going to be great right off the get-go today.
Yeah, we have our segments are in place. And, you know, we hope to add to the segments later on. So we also have some excellent write-in questions. So let's hit it first. Let's start off the show with a relationship email that we got. So you guys have been sending your emails. This time we got one from outside of North America, from Italy. He says, "Dear Steve and Matt, I come from a small town in Italy, and in our strict Catholic culture, women do not have sex until marriage. Otherwise, they become worthless as wives. I recently met a nice girl and come to find out she has a history of both sex and murder. I will explain. She met a man when she was only 22. She would fall in love with him. One day he told her he would marry her, and they went to celebrate. He got her drunk and took advantage of her. After he told her that he could not really marry her because he was already married with kids who lived in Sicily. This angered her, and she told him that she gave up her virginity for him and he would need to marry her or else. He turned her down, so she sliced his throat with a knife in front of a crowd of people. She was found guilty and sent to jail, but after hearing the whole story of his lies, a new jury found her not guilty after 3 years, and she was released. I have been dating her for a couple months and am already in love. And she is just now telling me about her history. My parents will not allow me to marry her. I am not sure what I should do. Help." So Matt, would you marry a murderer?
No, I'm out. I would be out. You know, to me, I don't know. You know, I don't care what the reasoning's going to be. But if you can be set off to that point, I don't want to be part of that, because shit happens. And when you're in a relationship with somebody, especially when it's long term, the littlest things turn into the biggest fights, right? Like, how many times you hear people fighting about, well, he doesn't put the toilet seat down and shit like that, right? And it turns into a big argument. And then what happens? You know, like, you get into a fight, you're going to be worried she's going to kill you in your sleep. So for me, like, that's something, you know about now before you've made that decision. I'd be moving on, and I'd be moving away too, because you see what happens when she got rejected the last time. So not only would I not marry her, I wouldn't even want to be near her, you know, because you, like, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah. We see this all the time, with women. Women can be very, very aggressive when it comes to rejection and getting their way when they're really infatuated with a man. And I've been, you know, through this myself in my life. I've been stalked. I've been hacked. I've been, you know, I've been in situations where I wasn't scared for my life, but this person was really trying to kind of get back at me and stalk me and all this stuff. It really became like this infatuation, which was fascinating because I'm not that special of a guy, you know. I'm not like I'm that great a looking guy or anything. So it's really interesting the way women are. You know, I would tell this person, look, I understand in Italy, there's this whole, you know, virgin thing, and a small town in Italy, you know, there's, in that situation, the virginity thing is very important to a woman. So this guy that she was with before, I feel like he took advantage of her. You know, he took her out, get her drunk, pretending he was going to marry her. And all the time, this scumbag had a wife and daughter. He was just a piece of shit, you know? And he took her. He took her virtue. I think it's called virtuous or something. He took that away. And in that strict Catholic culture, when you're coming from a small town in Italy, that's something very important. And that can never come back. So now when she does get married to you, you know, you're going to know, hey, she's not a virgin. So I actually commend her for being honest and telling you. I'm not really sure, though, if you can really blame her for not telling you right off the bat about her history. Because really, you know, when do you bring that up? Are you going to bring that up on, like, on a first date, on a second date? I mean, it's... I think if she tells you after a couple months, I think that's about right, you know, to tell you something like this. So I don't think she did anything wrong. I personally have a disagreement with Matt. I don't think you should hold it against her. I don't think you should hold her past against her. She was only 22. She made a mistake. And the guy had it coming. He was cheating on his wife, cheating on his kids. And I don't think she meant to murder him. She was just pissed off. And she took a knife and sliced his throat because he lied to her and he took away – he pretty much raped her. You know, if he's getting her drunk and taking advantage of her, to me that's a rape. You know, so fuck him. He deserved it. So I don't think you should hold that against her, but I do think you saying that you're already in love with her after 2 months, that's not smart. Do not fall in love with a woman after 2 months. You need to get to know her. And like Matt said, I do agree with Matt on a point he made about the toilet seat and all that stuff. If she's going to get mad at you over those types of things and when you start dating her, then that's a red flag. Hey, she has a really bad temper. She's capable of doing something. So that's why you date someone longer than 2 months before falling in love with them and wanting to marry them. So I would give her a chance. I mean, she was 22 and she went to jail for 3 years. So that means she's at least 25 or 26 now. So she's a lot more mature. 22 to 26 is a lot more mature, especially in a woman. So I personally would keep dating her. Just be smart about it and don't, you know, move too fast. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, sorry, my recording device was all a little screwed up there. I think so let's assume he's decided he is going to stay with her just because he's already feeling like he's in love. So let's just pretend, you know what, he's made that decision. He's asking for advice, but he's going to do it anyways. The one thing I would tell him is you can never bring it up against her ever, not even one time. So the reason I say that is, you know, like, you'll have so many arguments over the course of your years and years together, right, if you're a couple. And I can't tell you how many times it's happened in my house where, you know, one of us will do something and the other one will say, oh, yeah, well, remember last month when you did that? And then she'll say, oh, yeah, well, you're going to bring that up? Well, what about the time you did that? And then it turns into this huge blow up because we all make mistakes, right? We all do stupid shit. So the first time she gets mad at you for something, you cannot say, you know, like, what, are you going to kill me now? Like you did, but you know what I mean? Like you can never bring it up. So just remember that if you're going to be with her, you have to legitimately try to move past it. It's kind of, you know, in my mind, I have it like a couple where one of them cheats and they've decided they're going to try to work past it and stay together. You have to actually try to get past it and not bring it up every day or it's just bound to fail to begin with. So,
but you're kind of just focusing in on the murder part of it. But what about the lack of virginity thing?
But that doesn't matter to me because that's with somebody else. That's her relationship with another guy.
Right, but we're in his small town in Italy.
Yeah,
like a woman who's not a virgin is considered like not very worthy of getting married. So I wonder if, like, what's your advice to him on that? Like, should he just ignore that? Because his parents obviously aren't happy that she's not a virgin.
You know what? That's going to be a tough one for him because we're all brought up a certain way. We all have certain norms, you know, in the culture we were brought up in. But I guess I just go back to the, like, him saying he's already in love with her. So in my mind, he's already looking past it at some, to some degree. He's already to say, you know, he's already, not okay with it, but he's already willing to stay with her. Because if that was such a big sticking point, none of, you know, the other part wouldn't even matter.
The fact so the virgin thing is not a big deal to you, that she's not a virgin.
Well, see, it's hard because I'm not from that culture. So to me, no, it's not a big deal at all.
Because Canadians are very open sexually.
Well, it's hard. Like, it's hard to think, you know, a different way when you're not brought up like that. It's hard to think that way. So I guess, you know, like, it is important. It's something he's going to have to decide. I mean, to me, the closest thing I can think of is, you know, like, Steve, you and I are relatively the same age. And I know going through high school, it wasn't very common for people to come out as gay if they were. It's way more common now. So I'm trying to think, like, cultures where that's frowned upon. It's kind of similar to that, you know, the way that I'm thinking about it. It may be frowned upon in certain cultures, but if that's what you're going to do, you have to decide, you know, this is the choice I made. This is what, you know, I'm going to tell people. This is what it is. And you just have to move on and not try to, you know, hide things or be ashamed of it or anything. So
what about the what about the parents' situation?
Again, see, that's kind of where I was trying to make that comparison. I know that wasn't the best comparison, but it's kind of like at some point your parents, they're either going to support you or they're not. So he's going to have to, obviously they know about it because they're not happy. So it's just going to come down to a conversation with his parents that, yes, I'm going to, you know, I've decided I'm going to be with her and this is what it is. And hopefully they support him as their son, you know, and they're able to, you know, help him any way they can and be there for him.
Ironically, I think in that culture, it's worse to be not a virgin than it would be to be a murderer. You know what I'm saying? In the Italian culture. And, you know, so you ever seen like mafia movies and stuff? Like, they got no problem killing someone, but cheating on wives? Uh-uh. They'll kill you for that. Like the mafia bosses, they'll kill you. They find out you're cheating on you know, on your wife and stuff. They'll kill you for that shit.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, it's hard to get inside of the head of somebody that's raised in a different culture. You can try to, you know, look at it and try to understand it, but unless you were raised in it, it really does make it difficult.
So our next segment is Fix My Cycle, Bruh. So here's one. He says he's 23. He's 6'3", 240 pounds, about 17% body fat. So he's a big motherfucker, a little on the heavier side, body fat-wise. He says he's been training for 4 years now. And the last 2 years, he's been doing more of endurance stuff. He takes protein, glutamine, glucosamine, and a pre-workout only when he's lifting heavy. He eats 3,500 calories a day, low fat, medium carb, medium protein. He wants to do in his next cycle where he does 16 weeks of EQ at 500 milligrams a week, 14 milligrams of testosterone at 250 milligrams a week, GW, 20 milligrams a day, HCG, the last 4 weeks of the cycle, and then he wants the PCT with Clomid and Novadex for 4 weeks. He basically, his goals are endurance and CrossFit stuff. So let me kind of hammer a little bit about this first off, and then we'll get Matt's opinion. So my opinion, first of all, is you're a little young for steroids, and you're also a little bit on the heavier body fat for steroids. But it's not that big a deal. Like, if you were like 20 or 19, that'd be one thing. And if you were like 20% body fat, it'd be another thing. You know what I'm saying? So you're kind of on the edge of things. So I'm curious, you've been doing just endurance for the past 2 years. How are you still 17% body fat? You know, so then, you know, I then take a look at your diet. You're saying you're eating 3,500 calories a day. So you're little, you probably would, you're doing a lot of endurance stuff. So you're eating 3,500 calories and you're burning a lot of calories also during the day. And you're still, you know, a little bit on the overweight side. So I would tell you to drop your calories a little bit. Don't worry about losing, you know, not being carved up for your workouts and all that shit. You know, I'm not saying starve yourself, but at the same time, I'm saying you drop your calories a little bit so you get your body fat down before you actually hop on steroids. I think you'll have a lot better improvements with your endurance if you lower your body fat and be a little more lean. I've been to CrossFit gyms, and it's funny because everyone thinks CrossFit guys are just a bunch of skinny guys. You've got all kinds of body types in CrossFit. I've seen fat people. I've seen skinny people. I've seen muscular people. I've seen, you know, lean guys. I've seen all kinds of guys. Tall guys, short guys, strong guys, weak guys, you know, girls and guys. All kinds of people do CrossFit. So this whole stereotype that only like skinny guys do CrossFit or whatever, it's just not true. So CrossFit's a lot of strength, a lot of endurance. It's like a combination of things, a lot of high tempo stuff. As for your cycle, I think that I think you're on a good track here. I like the EQ thing. I would drop your EQ dose a little bit though. Instead of 500 milligrams a week, I drop it to maybe 300 or 400 milligrams only. An important thing that you're missing out of the cycle is an aromatase inhibitor, because if you're not controlling that water retention, you're really going to cause a problem with your endurance. So you don't want to have water retention with endurance. The testosterone could be lowered or could be eliminated. I like your GW dose. I would definitely use the GW the whole way through your cycle. That's really going to boost you up. And I also consider getting SR9009 as well and using them both together. You know, you could try that. Use the GW 20 milligrams a day or 10 milligrams a day, and then use the SR before your workouts and see if you get a little boost from that. I would take out the HCG as well. So Matt, I mean, what do you think? And what do you think about his PCT? Seems like a weak PCT to me.
Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. Like, so he's a big boy. To be big like that, to be fairly young, and he's 17% body fat, but he's only eating 3,500 calories as an endurance athlete. I feel like something's a little bit off there. Like, maybe his body fat percentage is off. Maybe he's leaner than that. Or maybe he's not eating 3,500 calories. Because maybe I'm wrong. Like, I should.
Well, he says he's 240 pounds at 6'3".
Right. So he should be burning a ton of calories just based on his size, right? The amount of calories to keep that size, that's a lot. So to me, I feel like something's off a bit. I don't know what it is, but it just seems like it's a little bit off. Me, I bet if I had to guess, he's probably eating more than he's saying, to be honest, because not everybody wants to tell you exactly what they're doing, right? Maybe he's doing really good. Maybe he's eating 3,500 calories Monday to Friday, and then maybe his weekends are, you know, he's having fun and partying and stuff, and that's where. So, like, that's a possibility, but take that out of it. Like, the cycle itself, I don't mind for what his goals are. I agree with Steve to probably keep the doses a little bit lower. You won't have a ton of water retention, especially if you lower the test dose. So that's what you're aiming for. Like, that's the thing that will kill you in a cycle as a CrossFitter, is the water retention. Or if you were to run like an oral and get pumps and that kind of stuff, you don't want that. But he's obviously done a good amount of research, because I like the choice. I like the layout. I agree. HCG has no purpose. Like, even the most diehard guys that seem to understand it really will only use it if they're running like a long trend cycle or something like that. It has no purpose for me. So, like, I would never I never waste my time and money injecting an estrogen, because that's really what it is. And the PCT, he probably just got off a message board somewhere, because it's just repeated over and over. So he probably just doesn't know any better. But yeah, he would still, even if he lowers those doses way down, he's still going to need to run the perfect PCT. We've gone through Sticky on the evolutionary.org forums, because test and EQ, like, that's going to shut you right down. Your LH and FSH will be down as close to zero as it can be. So you'll be, you know, completely shut down. You'll really want to come back. And just running those SERMs is not going to be enough. He's probably going to feel great on cycle, you know, because he's got the endurance. He's, you know, an athlete. He's probably in really good shape at that point. But he's going to be on for a long time. So to come off and not have, you know, at least something like an HC Generate ES to help him, you know, help get that natural test going, help feel better. He's probably going to feel really crappy if he just runs the SERMs, especially for only 4 weeks. I mean, if you're running the EQ and test, you know, add on 6 weeks for the esters alone. You know, you're going to be on a long time. It's going to take a lot to recover. So the Carterin, I would just run that right through into PCT too, just like the Sticky lays out. That's going to be huge for this guy. Being an endurance athlete, when you're coming off, any of that edge you lose as you're coming off, that'll really help you keep pushing through. It'll help you with that endurance boost still. And there's no problem running it that long. It's not a hormone or anything. So I would just keep using it. And, you know, just really, I'd really track the diet, and I'd really make sure it's every single day. Because you got to hit what you're trying to do. You got to hit those goals if you're competing even, and, you know, that kind of thing. So just make sure you're doing it. And, you know, if you are, you know, having a cheat meal or whatever, it's fine. Just account for it, you know, so you can make sure you do continue to lean down a little bit, because you'll be so much better of an athlete at, you know, 10, 12% body fat than at 17, even though at 17 probably still would look pretty good.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, the thing is, you know, people, they'll think, oh, I'm getting 3,500 calories a day consistent. They're not. They're getting a little more. And then plus, like you said, they're cheating. They might only eat good 3-4 days a week, 3,500. And the other days of the week, they're getting 4,500. So he's a big guy. And I know, like, to be that size, you're obviously eating a lot. So, and another thing too, consistency, not just with your diet, but also training. If you're trying to lose weight and you're eating so much, you're not using food to cut, you want to basically be at a maintenance level with your diet, that's fine, but you have to work out consistently too. And that's another thing that I noticed too at CrossFit gyms. A lot of people, it's just like your regular gym. A lot of people aren't consistent at it, because they plan on going, and then something comes up, something with their kids, something with their wives, a doctor's appointment, they're tired, they have a bad day at work, blah, blah, blah. All the same excuses people used, you know, for gyms, they use them for CrossFit as well. So he might be only going to CrossFit once or twice a week, and you're not going to improve your endurance running or doing CrossFit once or twice a week. Believe me, I was an endurance athlete. You got to do it 4-5 times a week, you know. And I'm not saying go and hammer 4-5 times a week, but I'm saying you got to have one day a week where you're doing like hard interval training, and then one day a week where you're doing like a nice easy run, and then the rest of the time you have to do tempo runs where you're kind of still pushing your body to get better at endurance. So endurance takes consistency, and if you take time off, your endurance is going to crater. It's just like a strength athlete at the gym. You know, you work hard at it, you're going to get stronger. But then if you only go once or twice a week, you'll notice your strength starts dropping off. So it's the same thing. So there's a combination of things. I just think you're only 23. You're probably not consistent. You got to get more consistent with your diet and training. Once that happens, then you use the steroids. Then the magic will happen. So Matt, take us into our next segment.
Yeah, we got a really good question here for our training segment. So I'll read the email to you here. It says, "Hey guys, I'm fairly new to training and I'm looking for some help. I've been lifting weights for probably 6 months and have fallen in love with it. I really want to develop a big back. Can you give me some examples of good exercises or even a routine to help? So far, I have been doing mostly cable pull downs and cable rows." And his name was Mike. So I'm glad he's got into training, and you know, 6 months, he loves it, because we all started somewhere and we did the same thing. We started lifting weights and then we just never stopped because it's fun and you like seeing yourself progress. So he wants to focus on his back, and back is one of my favorite muscles to train just because it's easy for me to lift heavy. So I like it. And he's probably just doing the exercises he sees people doing at his gym. So it's extreme, like everybody does cable pull downs and cable rows. You see that, men, women, everybody at your gym's doing it. I don't know what kind of gym he's at, but I would say the first exercise you're going to want to do for back is going to be deadlifts. It's one of the compound lifts. It's extremely important. I would actually, you know, if I could start this guy over, I'd probably have him just on compound lifts altogether. I wouldn't even have him doing any of these other exercises, but it kind of sounds like he just got himself into the gym, didn't really, you know, have a mentor or you know, really know anything. He just went and started lifting, which is still cool. So I'd back him up a little bit and get him on deadlifts first. And I would have him focus on form. So, you know, don't just take one person what they say. Watch what the big guys are doing at the gym. Watch a ton of YouTube videos. Come on the forums. Ask. You know, the more research you do, the better, because you have to filter out the bullshit and you got to figure out what's right. When it's something like deadlifts, where you're going to get to really heavy weights and probably pretty quick, because he's going to have his beginner gains. So, you know, he's going to grow really quick. Form would be so important. So that would be the first thing I would tell him. The second thing I would tell him is not to use any, you know, wrist straps or any of the assistance, you know, things you can buy, straps, wraps, all that crap. Just lift raw with your deadlifts, and you don't need to go so heavy. Start light, get it right, and then progress naturally. You don't have to put on, you know, an extra 10 pounds every time you deadlift. You don't have to do it that way. So that would be my my first exercise for back. Steve, why don't you come in and give a little input and then come back to me after?
Yeah, obviously deadlifts are great. Not everybody can do deadlifts at their gym. A lot of gyms don't even allow deadlifts. But yeah, deadlifts are important. But one of the mistakes guys make a lot of times is that they're using poor form, you know, and the way to prevent that is lowering your weight. I see people doing pull down and rows all the time, and they're using, you know, horrendous form, you know, and what I mean by that is they're engaging their shoulders when they're doing pulling lifts. They're not engaging their back. So that's why you see guys who have shitty and weak backs and they have strong fronts, because they do bench presses. They can bench 400 pounds, but they can't pull for shit, because all they do when they pull is they're engaging their arms and their shoulders. They're not engaging their back. So what I tell people, when you're doing pull downs and when you're doing rows, pretend there's a coin in the middle of your back and you have to squeeze that coin and hold it and then let go. Squeeze it and hold it. So you feel that burn in your middle and upper back. That's how you train your back. Not from putting crazy ass weight on the pull down machine. I see guys putting their 150 pounds and just pulling down. They're using their shoulders. They're using their arms. They're tearing up their shoulders. And then they do rows. They're using their shoulders. They're using their arms again. And they're worried about impressing the girl, you know, next to them. They're not worried about doing proper form. So you have to do it the right way. And that's important. And another thing, Roman chairs. Who does Roman chairs? Barely anybody. Your lower back is just as important as your middle and upper back. You have to be working your lower back, and you have to be doing your Roman chairs. And I like to do – I like to engage the Roman chairs, and you don't have to have that at your gym to do it. You can just find a bench and kind of do it, you know, on a bench. Just set it on an incline and kind of do the Roman chairs up and down on that. You really have to make sure you're working your back as much as you're working your front, because every guy wants to work their biceps and their pecs. Biceps, pecs, bicep, pecs. No one works their back enough, because it's not fun to work your back. You don't see yourself in the mirror. You don't get to jack off to yourself in the mirror when you're doing arms and when you're doing chest and pushing 400 pounds. So, you know, that's my opinion. So leave the ego at the door on back day and focus on your back more. And having a weak back, you're going to end up looking like what's that guy with the Hunchback of Notre Dame, you know, when you get older, when you get in your 50s. You're going to be one of those guys walking around the gym wearing a fucking belt and then, you know, hunched over because you have a strong-ass chest and strong shoulders and a fucking weak-ass back.
Yeah, I think what I wanted to add is try not to focus too much on one specific thing, especially being a newer guy to lifting. The reason I say that is you know, it's real easy to look at, you know, pictures of guys and pick one thing out. You know, like you see the lats and you're like, oh, I want those big lats that pop out. And then that's all you do, right? And meanwhile, you forget about your lower back. You forget about your middle back. So remember that you want to work all those parts. I see so many guys never work their lower back at all. So just make sure you're hitting all parts of your back. And at the same time, remember the rest of your body. If you focus too much on your back, you know, you'll have an imbalance, kind of what Steve was talking about. So, you know, it's not a race. Take your time. I think it's awesome that he wants to learn about, you know, back development first. There's nothing, you got to start somewhere, right? Why not? Back's a great place to start. So learn about it, focus on it, and then learn about something else. You know, learn about chest, learn about legs, and then bring those up so that you're always learning, you're always getting better, and then you'll end up balanced. And I think this guy's off to a great start, and I think we've given him some pretty solid advice to get going.
Yeah, guys, I mean, really, I had someone on one time tell me, oh, what does it matter if I work out my back? What does it matter if I do proper form? It's working for me. I can bench 400 pounds. Well, you're going to end up fucking up your posture. You're going to end up creating imbalances. It's going to lead to injuries, and it's going to lead to you, you know, just being like a hunchback in another 10 or 15 years, or even in a few years, because – like I said, we got too many guys who just like to work their pecs and arms, and that's all they like to work out. And yes, that will catch up to you. You know, you have to work your legs, you have to work your back, and you have to treat all your muscle groups fairly. You have to treat them. You cannot pound away at certain muscle groups. You pound away at your shoulders too much, you'll end up with a torn rotator cuff. You pound away at your pecs too much, you'll end up with a torn pec. These are very common injuries with weightlifters, and it's all because of ego. It's all because of overtraining and ego. Next topic, Matt.
All right, we got an awesome diet question. This one I love because it's so common, especially with the younger guys. So I'll just read it for you. It says, hey, Steve and Matt, I have a diet question for you guys. What are your thoughts on the dirty bulk? I'm planning out my first cycle and want to gain as much mass as possible. I know how important it is to get calories in for growth and just think it will be easier if I eat crap. There are so many more calories in pizza and burgers than a plain piece of chicken. My thoughts are that I can just cut afterwards. Does this make sense or is there an easier way? And this guy's name was Jeff. So thanks for the question, Jeff. If you just want to add pure mass, yeah, you could do whatever you want. That'll be a sure way to do it if you eat a shit ton of crap food and work out and, you know, run a cycle, yeah, you'll blow up. But I feel you'll be very disappointed, especially with it being your first cycle that you're planning out. You really want to have an awesome first cycle. Like, your body is just primed. When you're at the point that you're actually ready to cycle, assuming he's ready, your body will be primed to grow. But the dirty bulk is probably the worst thing you could do. And there's tons of reasons, right? We'll touch on all the reasons, guys. I mean, there's, you know, your health, there's how you're going to look, there's everything overall, right? Like, so I'll just get into the health to start off. It's common sense. We all know this. But it's not okay to eat stuff like pizza and hamburgers every day. That's not good. So you're going to put an unnecessary amount of stress on your liver, on your kidneys, on your heart by eating that kind of food. It's terrible for you. We know that. It leads to disease, you know, cardiovascular disease, cancer. This is what causes that stuff, is this type of shit food. And when you add to that the fact that he wants to run a cycle, steroids aren't healthy. We know that. They're not good for us in a sense that they put strain on your organs. So again, now you're compounding that risk. And the third part of the health is going to be, you don't want to grow that fast and get that big, you know, in a short period of time. That is not, your body doesn't like that. It's not safe and it's not healthy. Your body wants, if it's going to grow, it wants to grow at a nice, slow pace. It doesn't want to blow up. You know, if you run that cycle and eat crap and you add 30 pounds, that's not good. Your heart's not going to thank you for that. Your liver's not going to like that either. It's not a good thing. So just from a health aspect, take the gaining mass out of it. It's going to be a really, really bad idea. So I'll let Steve get into the next part of that.
It's so tempting when you're a skinny guy your whole life, you know, you want to get bigger, you know, you want to get bigger, you want to put on mass, and then you find out maybe you're online, you look at some pictures of a transformation, or you have a friend who went from being skinny to being huge, and you're like, well, how did you do that? And he tells you, yeah, I hopped on steroids, and I was eating a lot, and blah, blah, blah. So you're like, fuck, I'm sick of being skinny, I'm 150 pounds at 6 foot. And I've been skinny all my life, and I've been a weakling, so let me just hop on steroids, and let me just start eating a shitload of calories every day and just dirty bulk and add a bunch of weight, you know? So the problem is that you can't add muscle quickly. Muscle takes time to grow. Muscle takes time to develop, real muscle mass. So unfortunately, and this is something that a lot of young guys don't want to accept, because they live – in a, you know, world where everything is instant. If they want to find out who invented, you know, the TV, they can Google who invented the TV and boom, it comes up. When I was younger and when Matt was younger, if we wanted to find out who invented the TV, we would have to go to the library and look up the bibliography or ask the librarian, hey, where are the books about TV? And then you'd have to go find the books on TV, grab a bunch of books, and then sit down and read through them to find that answer. So things are different today. Everything is instant. And, you know, so, and Matt and I, we kind of adjusted because we're kind of like the start of the millennial generation. You know, the millennial generation, some people think it started in the very late 70s. Some people believe it started around, you know, 1980, 1981. So we're kind of on the edge of that. And we kind of have gotten used to that too. Like, I can remember growing up, if I wanted to know the sports score, I'd have to wait till the next morning and go get the newspaper, read the newspaper to find out the score. Now, you follow the game live. You can go online and watch a stream, a live streaming. You can watch it on a like CBS Sports Line. They have, you know, you can look at the statistics live. You can see the plays live. You can see everything. So it's things have totally changed. So we've adjusted to that too. But the thing is, with muscle growth, there is nothing instant about it. It takes many, many, many years to grow muscle, to grow quality muscle. So if you just want to hop on steroids, put on a bunch of weight, dirty bulk, eat McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, Subway every day, put, you know, eat 4,000 or 5,000 calories a day, put on a bunch of weight, that's your business. But it's not going to be quality muscle mass. You're just going to look like a bloated fucking blimp, and you're going to feel like shit. And you know what I'm saying? So it's not, it's just not going to work for you. So this is a slow and steady progress. If you're a skinny guy, you need to get on a good workout program, a good diet program, and be consistent. And it's going to take years for you to do it. But the longer you wait to start it, the longer it's going to take. It's kind of like getting your college education. Nobody wants to go to college. Nobody wants to do it. No 18-year-old wants to do it. They're like, oh, I want to take 6 months off. I want to take a year off. I want to backpack in Europe for, you know, for a year, or go to Australia or something. And okay, you want to do that, but guess what? Instead of taking 4 years for you to graduate, it's going to take 5 years for you to graduate. And let's be honest, most people who take a break don't ever go back to college, you know, because it's hard to take a break and then go back. So training is the same way. If you're going to just clown around for the next year and not take it serious, you're never going to get serious. So make a decision. Get serious and get consistent, and you'll start getting results.
Yeah, and if you break it down and kind of look at it, so I suggest anybody that's going to cycle, you know, twice a year is probably enough. Like, you want to do it as safe as you can, as healthy as you can. You don't need to be on gear all the time, right? So say you do it the right way and you eat clean and you eat, you know, just above maintenance, you're doing everything right. So say he cycles twice a year and he gains 5 pounds each cycle. That's 10 pounds of lean muscle in a year. So I would say take your body and picture yourself with 10 more pounds of lean muscle. That's going to be a huge difference, right? He's going to look great, so much better with that much lean muscle. On the other hand, say he runs 2 dirty bulks. Say he gains 30 pounds each time. That's 60 pounds of slop. Let's just call it what it is. And out of that 60, he's probably going to lose, you know, half, 30 of it, you know, just to give an average number. So what would you rather? Would you rather take your body and add 10 pounds of lean muscle or 30 pounds of, you know, blubber with a little bit of muscle underneath it? You're not going to see it, though. So try to, as much as you can, I know it's hard for the younger guys, as much as you can, try to think about what are your long-term goals and then set your short-term goals to get you there. If your long-term goal is to be big but be lean and have abs, because let's be honest, most of us want to look good with the shirt off, then do it the right way. If you just want to be like, you know, a world's strongest man competitor, that's a different story, right? Then you're shoving everything down your gullet that you can. But I don't get the sense from this guy's email. I get the sense he wants to get, you know, big and lean, and he, you know, he's a younger guy and he's just getting serious with this. So, you know, try to put yourself, you know, project how you want to look long term. I just want to give you a quick example because I always try to bring it back to, you know, personal examples when I can. When I was down in the U.S. For Thanksgiving just last week, one of my family members, he's just in his early 30s, and he's just finally getting his career set. So he took a little bit longer than, you know, a lot of us, but that's fine. And because of the lifestyle change, he's probably gained about 40 pounds in a year. And it's just not good weight. It's basically all fat. And I would tell this guy, if you make that mistake and you gain weight that quick and it's not quality weight, good luck getting rid of it. It doesn't just disappear. I can tell you now at 35 how hard I have to work if I want to cut. I could gain weight easy. It's not hard to gain weight for me right now. If I wanted to do it, I could do it. But if I want to have my goal of looking lean and cutting, it takes time and like dedication. I actually have to work hard. So if you gain a ton of fat, and like he said in his email, I figure I can just cut afterwards. You can cut afterwards, but man, if you gain 30 pounds and it's bad weight, you might be cutting for a year or two to get down to where you were beforehand. So think about that. You know, cutting's not easy. You got to be dedicated. And do you want to do that roller coaster? So, you know, just try to think what's best for you.
Speaking of that, cutting fast, we've had this conversation before and we haven't really got into it. And DMP is one of those things, those compounds that have been talked about so often, and it kind of went away for a while. And the reason it kind of went away for a while is actually interesting. A couple of the sources, the major sources that were selling DMP, got out of the business. I'm not really sure why. I don't follow, you know, the politics of things, but they're kind of out of the business. And I guess some new guys now have got back in the business. I don't know. I wouldn't even be able to tell you where to get DMP anymore. But now we're seeing 2-3 threads a day on our forums asking us about DMP. And I really think this is one of those things that we really have to educate people about, because DMP is so simple, but for some reason, guys, you know, they treat it like it's a joke. So, Matt, you know, I'll let you start off. What do you think about DMP? Have you ever used it? Have you ever thought of using it? And why or why not?
So it's not something I've ever used. Of course, I've thought about using it. I've thought about, you know, trying anything, but came to the conclusion, no, it's definitely not worth it. The thing that scared me was when I first started researching it. Obviously, you hear the stories about the people that actually died from it. And when you combine the fact that it's got a long half-life with the fact that the lethal dose and the effective dose are a lot closer than, you know, a lot of other drugs. You know, like just take an Advil, for example. You know, an effective dose is going to be maybe from 200 milligrams to 800, somewhere around there. What's the lethal dose, right? You're going to have to eat a bottle of them to have an issue. DNP is not like that. It's the lethal dose for most people isn't going to be anywhere near, you know, what people are running on a cycle, but it's a lot closer. So that kind of scared me, because with the long half-life, once you take it, there's nothing you can do. It's there. It's in you, and it's got to run its course. So that I didn't like. The other piece I didn't like was kind of like Superdrol, or, you know, some of the old pro-hormones that were really powerful, like M1T. It seemed like guys were getting extremely lethargic on it. And to me, like, I want to be able to exercise. So if I'm taking something that prevents me from exercising, that kind of defeats the purpose. So I figured, like, the calories that it's burning, could I not just be healthy and exercise instead? So I kind of shied away from it from that point. Now, on the other side, I know people that have used it with great success. And I've read on the forums quite a few people that like it, and they respond to it okay. I know some people have reactions to it. But you have to be, if you're going to use something like that, you have to be so responsible, because you need a shitload of water. Like, you just got to be super careful. I think you got to force yourself to exercise, but then you can't overexert yourself. So it's so tricky to me that it's not something I feel like I would ever want to experiment with. I feel like I would just rather stick to, you know, other things that are safer for me at this point in my life, at least.
I've used DMP 3 times. It is absolutely brutal to use. I mean, it is fucking brutal. And you just feel like shit. You're sweating. Your tongue is white. You're like, yellow shit's like coming out of you when you sweat and when you pee. It's like yellow shit. And when you ingest it right away, I mean, it tastes like, it just seems like you just ingested poison in your body. So, you know, let's take a look at how DMP actually works. And it's very important to learn how it works. It's amazing how many people use it and don't even understand the way it works. What it does is it raises your body temperature and your metabolic rate. It will induce proton leakage from the mitochondria, and it causes you to burn more fuel to yield the same amount of ATP. ATP is the primary carrier of energy within your cells. So your body has to use more energy to do anything. Like literally going to the gym and have a regular weight training session, just a slow, steady weight training session on a lazy day is going to be a lot. So working out is going to be so fucking hard on this stuff. You're just going to not want to do anything when you're on it. Like cardio is going to be almost impossible. You're going to try to do cardio and you're going to be so dehydrated and you feel like you're going to be so hot and dehydrated right away. So it's absolutely brutal. DMP is going to fight the body. It's going to fight to prevent the body from turning food into energy. So you're just not going to have any energy to work out with. So you're going to have to just train light when you want it. And that's the thing. You have to still work out when you're on DMP and you still have to eat good. Because if you eat a lot on it, you're defeating the purpose of using it in the first place. So essentially, it makes more sense just to fast. Just to not eat anything. Just drink all day. Just do a prolonged fast. And you get better results. It'd be healthier. And I know, Matt, you want to get in. But I just want to say this. Like, the problem with DMP is when you're on it, you don't lose weight. Because your body's retaining so much water when you're on it. That you're going to weigh yourself and be like, fuck, I'm not losing any weight. So now you're going to want to increase the dosage of it. You see? And that's the worst thing you can do. Because all that water is going to come off when you come off of it. That's when you start getting the weight loss.
Yeah, and with the longer half-life, you got to be careful adjusting dose, right? I just wanted to ask, maybe you could chime in from your experience using it, because this is something I've read. Guys say that if they eat carbs or too many carbs at one sitting, they end up like that's when they have so bad side effects. Like they just start sweating, and that's when it gets crazy. So like one – is that what you experienced? And two, I mean, obviously you just said fasting, but if somebody was going to eat, would you recommend low carb then if that's what they were going to do?
Well, the reason for that, as soon as you put the carbs in your body, it burns it right away. Because like I was saying about the energy, it changes the way your body uses energy. So that's what people are feeling. They're feeling that quick, you know, burn. So you're going to just start sweating when you have like a slice of pizza or something. So not because of that, but because you want to get the most out of it. You don't want to eat a lot of carbs and you want to limit your calories when you're on it. So you still got to eat good on it. All these people who's like, oh, I ate like shit on it. I didn't exercise. I sat on my couch for 10 days and I lost so much weight. Well, because they were so fat that that's no different than their regular lifestyle. So instead of just sitting on the couch eating shit all day, they sat on the couch and ate shit all day and was consuming DMP. You see? So if they would get off the couch and start exercising and eating better, they wouldn't need the DMP in the first place. So it makes absolutely no sense. But all the weight loss you get from DMP, it's just all going to come back when you stop using it. Because the mechanism of action will be gone when you stop using it. So you're just going to slowly or quickly gain back all the weight you lost. So it's not a solution. It's only something is if you have to lose weight fast. Like if I said you have to lose 5 or 10 pounds in 2 weeks, yeah, hop on DMP. But like I said, you could do a prolonged fast like I did, and you lose 1 to 1.5 pounds a day, and it's healthy. A prolonged fast is healthy. And you actually, you know, come out on the better, you know, better end in the end, healthier person. DMP isn't going to make you healthier, even though it is an antiseptic. It's still not going to make you healthier because there are some long-term side effects like vision issues and stuff that people have reported, and that's something that could affect you potentially permanently.
All right, let's crush this last topic then. We got an email from somebody basically saying, We've all been through it. It's the worst thing. But how do I prevent a cold or flu when I'm on cycle? It's getting to that time now, winter time, kids are in school, everybody's getting sick. What are the best ways to prevent it? So I'll just give you a few things that I do personally. I always take a multivitamin year round to make sure I get enough. I do try to eat a lot of vegetables because that's one of my pet peeves is that everybody focuses on protein and, you know, all this other shit. Nobody eats their vegetables, and that's where, you know, you're getting a ton of minerals and vitamins from. So I try to do it with diet. Lots of water is the other thing. People don't hydrate, and it's a significant percentage of people that are dehydrated every day. They literally drink their morning coffee, and then they don't drink anything all day long. They just go all day with nothing unless they have another coffee. It's ridiculous. But I did talk to somebody in my family who's also a nurse, and they said the one thing that they, based on their research, is hand sanitizer is great. And that's something I don't really use. Like, we have it at home and stuff, but it's not like a part of my routine. But I'm like, you know what? That's true. Whenever you're in the doctor's office or the hospital, like, they're using it every time they're in and out of a room. So, you know what? Depending on what you do all day, like, for me, I'm in and out of grocery stores about 6 times a day. They're filthy, right? So somebody like me, that's probably a good idea. But you're going to obviously want to be washing your hands. It's not a replacement to washing your hands. So I think there's tons of stuff you can do. But honestly, just like a healthy lifestyle is going to be the best thing. Everybody gets sick. It's going to happen. Steroids do lower your immune system, most of them, a little bit. It's not going to, you know, it's not do or die. But so you just got to try to do everything you can to be healthy. No different as if you were off cycle. And you know what? If it happens when you're on cycle, just use your best judgment. Listen to your body. If you feel like you need to sleep, you need to rest for a day or two, just do it. You're not going to lose all your gains in 2 days, I promise. It'll be fine. If you feel like you can go and just, you know, get in half a workout, then do that. You know, just make sure you're not going to push too hard. You're going to set yourself back even more than if you just were to have taken a day or two off. So that's just my quick analysis.
Yeah, I actually went through this myself. I'm actually getting over a cold right now. I started getting sick last week, started feeling like a scratchy throat, started feeling it coming on. Unfortunately, yeah, you really should take off from the gym. And, you know, like Matt was saying, the problem with the gym, it's so filthy. There's so much bacteria out there. You're exposing yourself to all that bacteria, and it's causing your immune system to get even more strained because your immune system now has to fight off all that extra bacteria, even though it's harmless bacteria, but it's still bacteria. So you want to stay away from people, away from kids, away from public places. You want to basically just be by yourself so that you're not exposed to a lot of other bacteria. Let your immune system get healthy and let it fight off whatever is bothering you. I'm a big advocate for colloidal silver, but you have to buy legit colloidal silver. There's a lot of colloidal silver that's bullshit. It's a natural antibiotic. I'm also an advocate of, you know, a lot of vitamin C. Vitamin C does shorten the duration of a cold and does strengthen your immune system. That is not a myth. That is actually very, very true. So those are things that you can do to kind of help with that. And it's inevitable. Even the most healthy person is going to get sick. And, you know, certain steroids do weaken your immune system. Certain steroids strengthen your immune system. It just depends. I know Primo strengthens your immune system. A low dose of testosterone will strengthen your immune system, but a higher dose of testosterone will strain your immune system. Tren will strain your immune system. Any harsh steroid, Anadrol, D-Bol, these harsh androgenic steroids, they're going to strain your immune system. So it just depends. And like I said, it's inevitable to, you know, everyone's going to get sick at some point. I haven't been sick in like 2 or 3 years, so it happens. Your girlfriend, your wife, your kids might be sick. They're going to give it to you. That's just how it goes. And, you know, hopefully you get better. And I highly recommend if you do have to take antibiotics because you get like bronchitis or sinus infection or something, you really need to take probiotics with it, and you take probiotics after. Very, very important. Raw foods such as, you know, kombucha are really, really good. Sauerkraut, the raw sauerkraut, not processed, not pasteurized, needs to be raw and unpasteurized sauerkraut. Otherwise, it's worthless to you. Those are really going to help. And don't abuse antibiotics at all. That can, you know, end up screwing you in the end.
So just quickly before we go here, vitamin C is awesome. And I know a lot of people, including myself, that will actually mega dose it when we do feel a cold coming on, and it really helps. The only thing I want to say, because this is something I learned fairly recently, if you have already some type of pre-existing issue with your kidneys, do not mega dose vitamin C. It can cause problems. But for anybody else, if you don't have kidney issues, it's perfectly fine. It's a water-soluble vitamin. You'll just piss it out anyway. So I just want to say that. If you're able to do it, I feel like it really helps me, and I get vitamin C from all types of different supplements and foods that I take. So like, I know I get a lot every day.
Appreciate you guys listening. Keep the questions coming. We will talk to you guys next week.